See you right after the international news.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. World Athletics officially launched a virtual museum this week. It offers visitors an interactive journey through the history of athletics, and it highlights many of the legends of the sport. Track and field fans will see some great moments and memorabilia, from Jamaican star Usain Bolt's world records to the history-defining four Olympic gold medals won by American sprinter Jesse Owens at the 1936 Berlin Games. In addition, the museum gives visitors a unique online experience highlighting key champions from each continent. The energetic Andy Edwards took a virtual tour of the new museum, and we'll hear from Andy later this week. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe, a two-time Olympic gold medalist for Britain, attended the opening of the museum. And Coe is also looking ahead to the Tokyo Olympics, which are scheduled to open July 23rd in the Japanese capital. Coe says he would love to see international fans at the Tokyo Games, but he realizes the COVID-19 pandemic is a big concern for organizers.
I genuinely hope that we have stadiums full of noisy, passionate people from around the world. That I think we also understand that may not be possible. And I think that the organizing committee and obviously the International Olympic Committee, in conjunction, I hope, with the member National Olympic Committees and also the international federations who deliver the sport, will be in consultation around this. I think it is also, for me, and I make this as a personal observation, having been part of a team that delivered a successful Games, that we also understand, as I did in London, that we deliver a Games for global communities. It's very different from any other sporting event. And I'm sure that when delivery partners that will be making that judgment look and recognize the scope and scale of the Games, they will recognize also that there are some challenges, but that those challenges really, if possible, can be overcome. I would love to see people from overseas in the stadium safely and securely and following all the COVID protocols. And I know that the athletes, you know, it's not a deal breaker for the athletes, but I think everybody would prefer to have stadiums with people in and ideally diverse and reflecting the planet and the Olympic movement we live in.
That's World Athletics President Sebastian Coe speaking at the launch of the World Athletics Virtual Museum. And the energetic Andy Edwards will tell us more about the museum later this week.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Confederation of African Football's new president, Patrice Motsepe, says the Africa Cup of Nations tournament will continue to be played every 2 years.
It has to be every 2 years. There's no doubt about that. Let me say something quickly. African football needs partners. You need partners who can make things happen. You've got partners who've got brilliant ideas, it's fine. You've got partners who'll encourage you, it's fine. But we need partners who will be with us on the ground and in this practical, tangible, accessible manner, make a difference in Africa. So Infantino, in all of the discussions and his passion for African football, his commitment to African football, his partnership to make African football succeed, and the discussions I've had with him for quite some time. And that's why I can confidently say that I'm absolutely committed to work together with him, to partner. He's my brother. He loves Africa. And I need him to help us do the things we need to do for Africa. Just like I need the private sector, and we will be working with the other leadership in the other continents. And as we engage with them, my main obligation is to do what's in the best interest of Africa. I'm absolutely confident that over the next few years, African football will indeed become better, will improve in all of the areas that we discussed. And the bottom line is, it will indeed be globally competitive, and it will indeed be self-sustaining.
That's Patrice Motsepe, the South African billionaire who is the new president of the Confederation of African Football, CAF. And he spoke Tuesday at a news conference in Johannesburg, South Africa. Meanwhile, football teams across the continent are preparing for their final round of Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches this month. In Group G, Kenya has a home match against Egypt and a road game against Togo. David Kwalimwa is an online sports editor at Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya, in an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye. David said the Harambee Stars of Kenya have virtually no chance of advancing to next year's Nations Cup in Cameroon.
Well, I can say Kenya's chances of qualifying for the Africa Cup of Nations are almost zero. In effect, the Kenyans with 3 points from 4 games and third in their qualification group have to win their remaining 2 matches of the competition at home against the solid Egypt side and away to Togo in Lome a few days later, and also hope other results go their way to stand a chance at qualification. For the record, the top 2 teams in this group will qualify for the continental event set for Cameroon next year, while the remaining 2 teams from the group which finished third and fourth will be eliminated. But it's good to consider that the North Africans have been Kenya's Achilles heels forever, while Kenya is yet to win a competitive match in West Africa for the past 3 decades. With 3 draws from 4 matches and without a win so far, this has so far been Kenya's worst campaign in the Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches in 2 decades. Kenya has so far drawn away to Egypt in Alexandria and registered the same result against Comoros in Nairobi. They also drew against Togo in Nairobi before losing away to Comoros in Moroni last November.
Kenya will play Egypt and Togo in the last AFCON qualifying matches. What are the chances of the Harambee Stars against these teams?
Well, Kenya will have to be at their best to get something from the games against Egypt and Togo. Egypt, remember, need to seal qualifications quick enough. They're top of their group with 8 points. They possibly need 1 win in the remaining 2 matches and have assembled a star-studded squad, including Liverpool's Mo Salah and Arsenal's Mohamed Elneny, to possibly come and finish the job in Nairobi. The Egyptians, you have to remember, the most successful football team in the history of African football and will mean business ahead of this trip. Kenya will have to be at their very best to pick something from the game. Togo as well have wobbled of late, but are a formidable side that represented Africa at the 2006 World Cup in Germany. And especially when playing at home, they seem to be a very good team. They are managed by coach Claude Leroy, the experienced Frenchman, who can make something out of nothing, as witnessed when Kenya and Togo drew in Nairobi last November. The change of coaches from Frenchman Sebastian Migne to Kenyans Francis Kimanzi and then Jacob Ghost Mulee in the past 2 years has not helped Kenya prepare well for these matches, especially considering the stability of the team.
What's your advice to the fans of Harambee Stars on their AFCON qualifying matches?
Well, my advice to Kenyan fans might sound cliche, but coach Jacob Ghost Mulee appears to be building a new team and will require all the support. He has assembled youngsters ahead of these matches and also has 3 friendly matches against Tanzania and South Sudan lined up starting this weekend. There are several players in the current Harambee Star squad who have served their time for the better part of the last 15 years, and it appears about time for the team's technical bench to make some tough decisions if these players do not voluntarily step aside. It will be interesting to see how some of these youngsters and outstanding players in the Kenyan Premier League this season, such as Elvis Rupi of FC Leopards and David Owino, fare in some of these matches if selected. Whatever happens, a point in any of these 2 matches should serve as a precious bonus, but the future should be more important for Kenya.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online sports editor at Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. And David was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Ghanaian football fans celebrated their country's national under-20 team, nicknamed the Black Satellites, earlier this month, after the Satellites soared to the African title in Mauritania. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this celebratory report from Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra, Ghana.
Ghana's under-20 football team, the Black Satellites, defeated their Ugandan counterparts, the Hippos, by 2-0 to leave the CAF under-20 tournament in Mauritania. The Black Satellites were given a hero's welcome by Ghanaian football supporters at the Kotoka International Airport with dancing and jubilation. At the arrival hall, the vice chairman of the Ghana Football Association, Mark Addo, welcomed the team.
We've been able to put together our team, even under the circumstances that we endured under COVID environment, where we've actually gone and conquered the whole of Africa. I think it's a phenomenal feat that we should all be proud of. We at the FA will continue to support you. We'll continue to support the youth football. And I was speaking to the president and the technical director, and the good news is that from the performance that you've shown, some of you will make it to the senior national team. I think it's a model that we want to continue to build, we want to develop so that those behind you will always see that there's light at the end of the tunnel. So when you are playing, you know that there's opportunity ahead of you as well.
Many football personalities went to the arrival hall to share the victory with the under-20 team, and not exempted was Ghana's Youth and Sports Minister, Mustafa Yusif.
The President of the Republic of Ghana, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, and the good people of Ghana, I welcome you all back home, and I congratulate you for what you have done by lifting the flag of Ghana high on the global map. We are so proud of you. 3 weeks ago, you left this country empty-handed. And you are here today with us with gold medals and a trophy. You couldn't have given us any better independence gift than this. This is a befitting independence anniversary gift that you are giving to His Excellency the President of the Republic and the good people of this our great country. Like the President said, the whole country is proud of you.
This victory by Ghana is its fourth since the inception of the Under-20 African Nations competition in 1979. The achievement also brought a lot of joy among Ghanaians as the country celebrated its 64th independence anniversary. For the Sunnyside of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
Take your pick, watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Shaka Sali for his memorable career at the Voice of America. Shaka is planning to retire at the end of May. Now, Shaka invited me to be a guest on a few Straight Talk Africa shows over the years. One of my favorite appearances took place in 2016, shortly after boxing great Muhammad Ali died at the age of 74. Shaka did a special show on Ali's life and legacy. And I remember a wonderful interview he did on the program with Larry Holmes, Ali's former sparring partner and a former world heavyweight champion himself. Looking back, that edition of Straight Talk Africa really packed a lot of punch.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America.
In European club football, Real Madrid and Manchester City scored victories Tuesday to advance to the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League tournament. Real defeated visiting Atalanta of Italy 3-1 to complete a 4-1 series win on aggregate. And in a match played in Budapest, Hungary, Man City beat Borussia Mönchengladbach 2-0 on first-half goals from the Belgian Kevin De Bruyne and the German Ilkay Gundogan. Man City, the runaway leader this season in the English Premier League, won the series on aggregate 4-0. Man City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola praised his team for its dominant performance.
We're playing good. We're playing good in terms of what we want. It's have a lot of control through the ball. So the best way to defend is have the ball, and we have it. And every pass or every movement have sense. We have some idea that everyone is in his position. And yeah, we are doing well. In that moment, we're doing well, and hopefully we can continue next Saturday. Because a few weeks ago we were there and we struggled and we fought a lot to win. And we'll be no exception because it's a final. So, but it's an incredible step to get semifinals of the FA Cup. And we'll prepare and be ready for that.
As Pep Guardiola said, Man City will now prepare for its FA Cup quarterfinal on Saturday against Everton. Guardiola says the pressure to win the Champions League, though, is certainly there.
Well, for the first year I arrived here 5 years ago, they told me that you have to win the Champions League. So, yeah, always is in our shoulders. So, but I'm not concerned of that. So, football, if you deserve it, you go through. If you don't deserve it, you don't. So, I'm not thinking to get semifinals. I'm thinking to do a good first game and after the second good game. Is the only thing. When you are thinking about what you are going to win, you forget what you have to do. And to do is analyze the opponent, how is our shape, the way we want to play, our principles, and try to do good games.
Manchester City Football Club manager Pep Guardiola, Liverpool, Porto, Borussia Dortmund, and Paris Saint-Germain advanced to the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals last week. The final two places will be determined later Wednesday. Reigning European champion Bayern Munich will host Lazio of Italy. Bayern holds a big 4-1 lead from the first leg, and Chelsea is at home in London against Atletico Madrid of Spain. This series is tighter. Chelsea won the first leg 1-0. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello. I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, LeBron James had another excellent all-around performance to lead the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers to another victory. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
LeBron James had 25 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists in his 99th career triple-double, leading the Lakers to a 137-121 victory over the Timberwolves. Only four players in NBA history have recorded 100 triple-doubles. Montrezl Harrell scored 25 points as the defending NBA champs picked up their third straight victory on the second night of a back-to-back set. Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards each scored 29 for the Timberwolves, who allowed eight Lakers to score at least 8 points. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, Lakers superstar LeBron James has a variety of business investments off the court. He reportedly owns a 2% share of the English Premier League football club Liverpool. And LeBron also recently became a part owner of Major League Baseball's Boston Red Sox team, with his ownership share with the Red Sox reportedly 1%. But LeBron is thinking much, much bigger.
My goal is to own a team, own an NBA team. I got so much to give to the game. I know what it takes to win at this level. I know talent. I also know how to run a business.
In Boston, you might say the Utah Jazz took care of business, beating the Boston Celtics. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
A pair of big threes by Donovan Mitchell helped the West-leading Jazz close out the Celtics in a 117-109 win. Mitchell finished with a team-high 21 points after the Utah All-Stars 3 with 3:49 to play made it a four-point game, and another Trey with just over a minute to play pushed the Jazz lead to 6.
We've had a few games where we've been in that situation, you know, and we've executed. We may not have won every time, but we've executed. You know, I think tonight we did a good job of it.
Jordan Clarkson scored 20, and Rudy Gobert had 16 for the 29-10 Jazz. Jason Tatum's 29 points and Jaylen Brown's 28 were not enough after the 20-19 Celtics had won 5 of 6. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Portland Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard, who was the NBA's high scorer Tuesday night. Lillard Lillard fired in 50 points to lead Portland to a 125-124 victory over the visiting New Orleans Pelicans. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with a story about a new World Rugby Women's Tournament. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. World Rugby says the new tournament will create a more competitive international landscape and accelerate the development of the women's game. And in a video news conference on Tuesday, World Rugby Chief Operating Officer Alan Gilpin outlined what is being called a game changer for the sport.
It really is a landmark announcement reflecting World Rugby's commitment to the development of the women's game and to women in rugby. Certainly the single greatest opportunity for us to grow our sport in the coming years. This competition is supported by an initial £6.4 million World Rugby investment, a three-tier annual global competition model that will feature 16 teams and will be hosted in a new September-October global competition window, taking place in all years except Rugby World Cup years. In line with the high-performance goals of that transformational Women in Rugby strategic plan 2017 to 2025, this really underscores our commitment to increasing the competitiveness of women's rugby and the commercial and fan engagement opportunities that come with that. As we work towards an expanded 16-team Rugby World Cup for the women's game in 2025.
The new competition called WXV will start in 2023 and feature the expanded 16 teams competing across three tiers. Six teams will compete in the first tier, the top three sides for the European Six Nations and the top three from the cross-regional tournament featuring Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States. The second tier will feature the two next best teams in the Six Nations and include one team from Oceania, Asia, and Africa. And the third tier will be two teams from Europe, one from Asia, and the winners of a playoff match between Africa and South America. Alan Gilpin says he believes the new structure will make the game more competitive, which will ensure the success of women's rugby for years to come.
This really sees us creating certainty on where the women's game will be going over the next decade or more. Certainty for the unions and teams and players in relation to the next three Rugby World Cups as we work towards that expanded program in the future. And certainty for women's high performance programs and the commercial and fan opportunity as we move forward.
World Rugby is investing over $8 million in the first 2 years, and Katie Sadlier, the governing body's general manager for women's rugby, says she has worked closely with unions and stakeholders to help expand the product of the women's game.
We see this as an amazing property that will be incredibly attractive for commercial partners. We have launched a new commercial program, and we are looking for partners to support what we're doing right across the women in rugby portfolio. And we see this as a really exciting proposition, which will be an ongoing, regular, best of the best competing in a three-tiered competition.
The 2021 Women's Rugby World Cup, originally set to be staged this year in New Zealand, has been delayed due to the global pandemic. The New Zealand government has said it remains committed to hosting the tournament next year, and Alan Gilpin says talks are already underway for new dates in 2022.
We're looking at a window of October, November 2022, so slightly later than we would have been this year had the tournament gone ahead in New Zealand. And there are lots of reasons for that. But you know, 2022 is a packed sporting year. And from a women's rugby perspective, obviously we have, you know, Commonwealth Games in the summer for a number of teams. We have Rugby World Cup Sevens 2022 in Cape Town to consider. So taking all of those things into account, we think that an October-November window is the best place for that tournament next year to give everyone the opportunity to be fully prepared, and we hope to be able to confirm that those dates pretty soon.
And we will be keeping an eye on the Women's World Cup in New Zealand and the Rugby World Cup Sevens in Cape Town when those dates are confirmed. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, let's give a sunny side of sports birthday salute to five-time Olympic champion swimmer Katie Ledecky of the USA. Katie was born on March 17, 1997, right here in Washington, and Katie will be going for more gold at this year's Tokyo Games. And that wraps up the March 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side.